The Moline family of Manson, Iowa, has been raising turkeys for 91 years. But for most of this summer, their barns were empty and quiet. In May, they found 90 dead birds. Lab tests confirmed they had flu. The surviving birds had to be killed and then the barns cleaned and disinfected. Brad Moline says he turned the fans back on and put these new baby turkeys in the barns on July 31st.
I had been excited since I was a kid. So we're getting back to, for lack of better words, back to normal.
His new normal includes fielding calls from other producers, some in the heart of southeastern chicken country, where they raise broilers, the chickens that become meat. His advice to them?
Look at biosecurity issues, but also have a plan, whether it's written in your office or on the side of a barn wall. Have a plan of what you're going to do in case this hits you, because it can. It's just that simple.
Biosecurity means disinfecting boots and tires that enter or leave the farm, requiring overalls and disposable booties, or showers, for anyone entering a barn. During the crisis, workers even wore protective suits with respirators. Federal officials say the virus came from wild birds, but blame lapses in biosecurity, among other factors, for it spreading so quickly. Some farmers even blame the wind. That said, nobody really knows exactly how it happened. In all, 48 million birds died from flu or were killed to contain it. Before a congressional panel in July, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack acknowledged mistakes were made.
We understand there are issues involving biosecurity, there are issues involving depopulation, there are issues involving disposal, there are issues involving indemnification, and the time for repopulation.
Licking some wounds after farmer criticism, USDA officials say they have a plan for this fall that could handle a worst-case scenario, twice as many infections. The department also hopes to stockpile vaccine. It won't prevent an outbreak, but could help contain one and make cleanup faster. Meanwhile, throughout the poultry industry, people are trying to make sense of bird flu. Cindy McCullough operates Blue Stem Organic Feed Mill in Webster City, Iowa. It's small. Customers drive up and get feed and go back to their farms. There aren't many trucks that visit a variety of poultry farms and her mill. That limited her exposure. Still, McCullough watched as the quarantine around infected sites came to within 7 miles of the mill.
And if we were within six, we would have had to have gone through the quarantine aspect and making sure that every truck is sprayed and that our biosecurity would have been brought up to a much, you know, we would have had to have limited access into the mill.
In Iowa, 77 quarantines were established, with the last of those only lifted in late August. McCullough's customers raise organic birds that can't live exclusively indoors. Like everybody, she's left with questions about the virus.
How it's spreading and why it was continuing to spread, because all of our birds are required to be outside. So the migratory bird aspect was a big question mark for us because we would have had the highest exposure.
Avian influenza naturally occurs in wild ducks and geese, who often are unaffected by it. But that fact doesn't explain how the virus got from them to the commercial flocks. Iowa State University wildlife ecologist Jim Edelman will soon be looking at sparrows and other small birds to see whether they can move the virus from migrating waterfowl to commercial poultry.
We are going to go out and sample a bunch of these types of wild birds, as well as some mammals and some insects. Look at these sort of non-traditional vectors that might play a role.
Edelman emphasizes that these are unlikely transmission routes. But in the absence of one solid explanation, many ideas are being pursued, amid much anxiety and trepidation about the fall, when cooler temperatures also will increase risk. In Ames, I'm Amy Mayer, Iowa Public Radio News.